Faces of Success Radio.
Attention class, attention class. Today you will have a substitute teacher.
Somebody that's around for me. Everyone, and welcome to Interviews with the Stars. I am your host, Ms. Diamond, and I want to thank you on behalf of Faces of Success Radio for keeping it locked right here each and every Thursday for hot music, hot topics, and the most exclusive interviews out there. Today, I want you to sit back, relax, pour you a cool little beverage, kick your feet up as I get the studio ready for today's special guest, Mr. Alexander O'Neill. Stay tuned for that and so much more. You won't want to miss it. So if you want to hit me up on Facebook. My name is Ms. Diamond Hot Topics, of course. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. Diamond Hot Topics as well. I'd love to interact with you. Trust me. I can't wait to get the studio ready today. Today's episode is definitely going to be epic. Mr. Alexander O'Neill is going to grace us with his presence just a little bit later. So right now, just sit back, relax, and I got you. So hit me up. You got a song you want to request? Of course, I am the girl for you. All right? Stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars.
My room upon the loneliest nights, I think of me and my wife, the Apollonia type, cause I'm the prince, no worries in the zone and the hype, it's more or less of where I'm going tonight, I live day by day, I'm star-studded, but it's nothing cause I'm all alone, not a baby mama nor a woman I can call upon, a bunch of groupies who be trying to get they stalking on, following and tapping every phone that I'm talking on, worship what I'm walking on, but not because I grind, the rhythm that I rhyme, every sentence in line, I reminisce on the times when the women decline, cause they ain't know me as a murder, but that simply shine. Into my prime, officially signed. It's like the women from my past life remember me now. Now I skate alone, trying to take it home. Since the bank alone to meet the Miss Right that I've been waiting on to play a song.
And I'm wondering if I
they ready for. Everything's steady, so I'ma grab the mic and recite for the light like I usually do. I have this beautiful view of the shit on the floor. Have my mind playing tricks as if I've seen it before. Body pure, head to toe, dressed in Christian Dior. Not could possibly forget to perform. Now my eyes on her. That's when I put the mic down, head right down. Come clean, talk to this beautiful young queen. Cause it's this one thing that got me tripping. And that's just one thing. I'm usually never tripping, but babe, if you could say that, I'll make my day. And hopefully we can find a way, like Dwelle say, vacate out the west of the LA way. But tonight is no trick, going back to the city, love. Numbers with the letter 220 deep, and now we coming for the cheddar. No one could do it better when you're talking the grind. They just pulled me in the circle cause they thought I could rhyme. Plus my brother was dope, so what else could I shine? But my neighborhood and ex the sun, and so it goes. Pull up on condom, make a right on Gratiot. I left on Gunston, and now it's jumping. About to do something, I ain't bring on for nothing. So this little sexy woman, I'ma pump until she comes. We into my driveway, I'm planning it my way. Two more cars pull up in front of my place. My dude got hard and my guard got let up, and then I got wet up. The chick had me set up.
You know, and I got ladies that's for, and now I, you and I'm wondering if I should ride with you, though I don't know you, but you're cute,
but it's still Detroit today.
Well, that was And the Beat Goes On by The Whispers. And, of course, that's a hot, hot song. So, of course, today I want to bring you a definite, definite hot topic. So today's requested hot topic is about relationships, love, and a peace of mind. Okay? So this, to me, you know, do you want to be in a relationship? You know, if you are a person who wants to be in a relationship, have you thought about why? Well, actually, there are two different reasons for wanting a relationship. The first is about what you want to get, and the second is about what you want to learn and to share, okay? So if you ask people why they want a relationship, many people will say things like, I want someone to love me and to make me feel special and worthy. Others would say, I don't want to be alone and lonely anymore. Others would say, I want to have children. And some would even say, I want to feel safe and secure. Well, they might not say outright that it's that they want a relationship to fill the empty place within themselves. You know what I'm saying? Or they might not even say, I want a relationship so that this person or someone can complete me. They hope that their partner will give them, you know, what they're not giving to themselves and what they might not have received as children. But, you know, one more thing that they may not say is they may feel like, a partner can make me feel taken care of emotionally, financially, or even sexually. Now, you might be thinking, right, aren't these the reasons everyone wants a relationship? Why be in a relationship if not to be loved, cherished, to make feel special, safe, and secure? You know, what's the point of a relationship if not feel me, take away my loneliness, and make me feel okay about myself? Well, there really is another reason for wanting to be in a relationship, okay? So today I want to just tell you guys, I'm no expert, you know, I'm no doctor, but this is just merely my opinion. You know, the other reason why people want to be in a relationship stems from the fact that relationships are the most fertile ground for learning about what is unhealed inside of us and for having an arena to heal, okay? Most of us have baggage from our childhood, which we carry into primary relationships, such as fear of rejection and fear of engulfment. Well, these fears generally get placed out with a partner, which offers us an incredible opportunity to learn more about and to heal them, you know? Relationships, to me, can really be like the doctor of personal growth. Learning about your fears of intimacy as well as about control issues that may surface with a primary partner can lead to much more personal growth, enhancing your ability to actually love somebody. You know, the more you learn to take responsibility for your own feelings, learning to love yourself, cherishing yourself, making yourself feel special and valued, the more you may want a relationship in order to share your love rather than get love, okay? But contrary to what many believe, it's not the giving of love that takes away loneliness, but actually the sharing of love. Well, I'm all about self-love, and I'm, you know, I want everybody to always feel good with whatever situation you're in, whether you're single, whether you're just dating, whether you're in transition, you know, or whether you're in a relationship. Love yourself first. I'm not saying don't love nobody else, but I'm saying love yourself first, and you'll have the ability to love others, you know? And you'll also have the ability to allow someone to love you, and you'll be able to accept that love. But more about love, relationships, and the mind when we come back. So stay tuned. Don't forget, Alexander O'Neill will be in the building in just a little while. So stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars.
We want to thank you for coming out tonight. Right now it's time to slow it down. So you grab your lady real tight and you just rock to this. Yeah. Sounds real good, y'all, don't it? If you know the words, feel free to sing along. Listen, baby.
Your love is known. Heaven sent you,
Lord.
stop chasing them skirts, turn my butt to work. Stop hanging at the clubs, even went to church. Cause you and I just wanna describe your love, oh yeah, girl. Without you in it, it's like my ride without the windows tinted. A TV's in it, I just don't roll that way, baby. I need you in my life, my life, my life, my life is you.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Well, that was the lovely Miss Beyonce with Love on Top, of course. I love that song. And I want to thank you all for tuning into the show today. And I want to also say what's up to those who have requested songs and requested these hot topics that I bring you here on Interviews with the Stars each and every week, okay? So hit me up on Facebook. I love to interact with you. I love to see you and chat with you and, you know, like your pictures and, you know, see what your kids looking like and let you know what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. So make sure you hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Miss Diamond Hot Topics. I also want to take this time to say what's up to a lot of my fans and a lot of my supporters, people who have been down, okay? So I want to say what's up to Mr. Dion DTV out in Detroit doing his thing. So much love and much respect and nothing but success to Dion DTV. Out in Detroit, okay? So we're going to get back to our topic, and today's topic we're talking about relationships, love, why people want to be in relationships, and, you know, how to actually have a peace of mind, okay? Well, the most profound and beautiful experience in life is to share love, you know, but we can't share love unless we are filled with love. Understand that. When we learn to fill ourselves with love from our source, you know, whatever that is for each person, such as nature, your spirit, you know, God, the energy, the people around you. When we come to our partner with inner fulfillment rather than with inner emptiness, okay, rather than needing a partner to complete us, we desire to share our completeness with our partner, okay? Some of y'all don't understand, but y'all will get that later. It's cool. But understand, when two people come together to get love rather than to learn, heal, share love, there's a strong possibility that their relationship won't last. Partners trying to get love and feel by, you know, the other, and neither one wanting to learn how to love, you know, sometimes it will ultimately be disappointing. You know, very often one or both might believe they picked the wrong partner. And you just don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to waste your time, trust me. But when two people come together because they want to learn together, they want to grow together, they want to heal together, share their time in companionship, and share their love and passion, they will have a good chance of creating a lasting, loving relationship. You know, these people are asked why they want a relationship. They say things like, I have a lot of love to give, and I want to share with a partner who also has a lot of love to give. Possibly we might want to have children with whom to also share our love with. Nothing's wrong with that. To learn and grow with someone who can also learn and also wants to grow as well. Well, I have another Tiffany who says, I want to share time, companionship, lovemaking, laughter, and play with someone whom I feel deeply connected with. So shout out to those ladies for not being afraid to share why they want to be in a loving, lasting relationship, okay? But if you tune inside and honestly ask yourself why you want a relationship and you find yourself on the first list rather than, you know, some of the second things that I said, then do not despair. I mean, you can learn how to love yourself and fill yourself with love so that you have plenty of love to share with a partner. I mean, to me, it's important to realize that we attract people at our own common level of health. With each level of taking personal responsibility for our happiness and well-being, or at our common level of self-abandonment, which includes making someone else responsible for our feelings, which, you know, you should be responsible for your own feelings. You can't necessarily make someone else responsible for everything that you feel, everything that you think, you know, every way that you are. That's you. That's the way you are. That's not the way that they are. You know, so you have to learn to accept people the way that they are, deal with it, or keep it pushing. I'm just saying. But given this reality, you have a far better chance of creating a healthy and loving relationship with a partner when you have a healthy and loving relationship with yourself, okay? So when I come back from these hot songs that I got for y'all, I'm going to let y'all know some ways to have a peaceful, loving relationship. And in that, you'll have a peace of mind. So stay tuned right here. Don't forget, coming up real soon, I have Mr. Alexander O'Neill in the studio. So trust me when I tell you, this interview is going to be epic. All right? So stay tuned right here. Interview with the side. Agree with that. I want you guys and you ladies to understand that you're amazing just the way you are. You know, let's start with self-love. If you love yourself first, then you can open your heart to love someone else and you can, you know, open your mind, you know, to the possibilities. The possibilities are definitely endless. So, you know, I don't know if you guys can tell, but I am so excited today. You know why? Because I'm living. And I want y'all to know that I'm happy. You know, and I want y'all to be happy, too. I want each and every one of y'all to experience, you know, what it feels like to just live life to the fullest, whatever you're doing, whatever your situation is. Live it up. You know, you definitely don't always need somebody else to complete you, but if you do, that's even better, okay? But I like to think that we redeem ourselves from mistakes that we've made in life, you know. We need to learn how to be honest, okay? Being self-aware, in my opinion, is far more valuable than being perfect, mostly because of the former and obtainable, you know, things that we try to reach, you know, can't be really helpful to our lives if we're not really putting the thought process in it, okay? Now, understand that relationships are not easy. They are not. They are not a walk in the park either, okay? Some people make it look easy, but you never know what's going on behind closed doors, okay? So just, you know, we're going to keep it real on that, okay? But relationships mirror everything we feel about ourselves. You know, when you've had a bad day, the people around you seem to be difficult. You know, when you're not happy with yourself, your relationship seems to be lacking. You know, if you ever gotten into a fight only to find yourself wondering what you really was mad about, you know, what really made me upset, you know, there are some things that I can tell you that may help you. But if you feel walked on or unheard, you've just it, there's likely something, you know, that I can tell you that will help you change that, okay? Now, we don't live in a vacuum. We have thoughts and feelings that can be confusing. Other people do too. And I just want you to know that I feel confident. I feel strong. I feel compassionate. I feel peaceful in my interactions. And I hope that you do the same and you do as well, okay? So first of all, I want to tell you, do what you need to do for yourself, okay? Everyone has personal needs, whether it's going to the gym after work or taking some alone time on a Saturday morning, you know, whether it's going to church on Sunday just to get that praise and worship in, whatever it is. But if someone asks you to do something and your instinct is to honor your own needs, do that. That's not selfish. I'm not saying you can't make sacrifices sometimes, but it's important to make a habit of taking care of yourself. Someone once told me that people are like glasses of water. If we don't do what we have to do to keep our glass full, we'll need to take it from somewhere else, which leaves them half full. Do your own glass first so that you can feel whole and complete in your relationship, okay? Now, I also want you to look at yourself for the problem first, all right? Some of you are like, what? Yeah, look at yourself for the problem. When you feel unhappy with yourself, it's easy to find something wrong in a relationship. You know, if you blame another person for what you're feeling, the solution is on them. But it's actually faulty logic. For starters, it gives them all of the control. And secondly, it usually doesn't solve the problem. Since you didn't actually address the root cause, next time you feel the need to blame someone else for your feelings, something they did or they should have done, ask yourself if there's something else going on. You may find that there's something underlying, something you did or should have done for you, okay? So what I'm merely telling you is to take responsibility for the problem and, you know, you'll have the power to create the solution, okay? I don't know if you think you're perfect, but I'm here to tell you you're not. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But if you can find the perfect person, go ahead. I'll wait. I'm here, right here, on Interview for the Stars every Thursday, waiting for you, okay? I also want to tell you guys, for a peace of mind, you know, in relationships or, you know, whatever you may be going through, learn to choose your battles, okay? Everyone knows someone who makes everything a fight. If you question them about something, you can expect an argument. If you comment on something they did, you'll probably get yelled at. Even a compliment can create a confrontation. I know y'all know somebody like that. I know I do. I'm just going to keep it real with y'all, okay? But some people just like to fight, maybe to channel negativity that they're carrying around the world or themselves. Or on one hand, you have to tell people when there's something bothering you. the only way to address problems, okay? On the other hand, you don't have to let everything bother you. When I'm not sure if I need to bring something up, I ask myself a few questions. Does this happen often and leave me feeling bad? Does this really matter in the grand scheme of things? You know, can I empathize with feelings instead of dwelling on my own insecurities? Okay? Now, there's a lot of people out there who is insecure but is, you know, unaware, or I don't even want to say, they try to act like they're not insecure, but you are. It is. It is what it is, you know. But, hey, as long as you learn to confront those things, you should be fine, all right? And one last tip I'm going to give you guys is don't be afraid to be vulnerable. There are all kinds of ways you can feel vulnerable in relationships, and that's when you express your feelings for someone else, when you're honest about yourself or your past, when you admit that you've made a mistake, when you don't always do these things because we want to maintain a sense of power. Well, power only allows us a superficial sense of control, whereas true vulnerable feelings being allowed, it allows us a sense of authenticity, okay? That's love, being your true self and allowing someone else to do the same without letting fear and judgment tear you down. It's like Jimi Hendrix said, when the power of love overcomes, the love of power of the world will know peace, all right? So I just want to thank you all for tuning in today's show and listening to these hot topics, okay? So tune in right here each and every Thursday for Interviews with the Stars. Of course, I give you the best topics. Of course, I play the best music, and I bring you the most exclusive interviews in and around town, okay? So stay tuned, sit back, relax, as I get the studio prepared for today's wonderful guest, Mr. Alexander O'Neill. I definitely can't wait, and I know you can't either. So we'll be right back after this song, and Mr. Alexander O'Neill will be here. Okay? So stay tuned for Interviews with Stars.
Reach out your hand and grab me.
Welcome back, welcome back. Well, that was Kumanji with Letter to God. So shout out to Kumanji for that wonderful song. And today's special guest in the studio is none other than the wonderful Mr. Alexander O'Neill. Welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you, Ms. Diamond, for having me. It's wonderful to talk to some people today.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. You know, we are so honored to have you on today. We know we appreciate you, and we love your music, and I have a lot of requests for your songs today. So we're going to give your fans definitely a treat today, okay?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic.
Yes, yes. So, you know, tell me about a time when you remember some songs you sang before you became a celebrity. You know, some of the songs, you know, when you were just grooving at home or in the car, you know, just hanging out with your friends, you know, what were some of the songs that you would sing to just, you know, get you ready for whatever you were about to do?
All types of songs, actually. You know, I was mimicking people like Peavo Bryson and Jeffrey Osborne and Stevie Wonder, and this amount of other guys who I would just, you know, I mean, who I really looked up to, and I guess my favorite people are Donny Hathaway and Otis Redding. You know, they were very instrumental in my thought pattern in me putting my, you know, finding my, before I found my real voice, you know, because sometimes that's what you have to do. You know, you, when you're doing the local music scene, you know, you play what's, kind of sing what's out there, but when you get serious about getting your own record deal, you got to find out who you are and not try to sing. And then you have to start changing the whole thought pattern again to get to find your sound. So when I found my own sound, it was Alex or nothing. So, you know, it worked out.
It definitely worked out, definitely, definitely. Let me ask you, you know, how does it feel to be referred to as a celebrity who has soul and is a legend in the industry?
Well, you know, Ms. Diamond, I get a lot of, lately, I get a lot of the L word. You know, they call me a legend, you know, especially a lot of younger people who grew up on Alexander O'Neill, you know. Sometimes mm-hmm. when I go in places and they'll say a legend's in the house, and then I'll start looking around, right? I'm looking around trying to find out who's, and then they go, no, it's you, you know, and I go, oh, okay. So I guess I have put in enough time in the music industry after 27 years to my 28th year, you know, and I'm still singing, I'm still enjoying myself, I enjoy what I do, and very, very, you know, a part of that in longevity is, you know, really, I tell people all the time that my body belongs to me, but the voice definitely belongs to God, okay, because he's definitely preserved my voice and taken care of me. And that's a part of what who Alexander O'Neill is constantly trying to maintain my relationship with my God, you know, and my spirituality, because I think it's just so important. It brings so much balance to what you're trying to achieve, you know, because, you know, God gives to who he pleases to give to, you know, and, you know, for him to give me this wonderful opportunity to be able to sing all these years. And it's so ironic because I'm still singing in the same key that I was 20-some years ago. I'm still singing the same songs, the same key. And that's,
yes,
that's really a blessing. That's really a blessing.
Yes, yes. And you're doing an amazing job at doing it. I mean, a lot of people try to imitate you and, you know, go to karaoke bars, and they're trying to sing it like you do, but they just don't get it.
Well, you know, I think that one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest blessings for me is to have a unique voice, you know. I mean, before I got encouraged to get into the music industry, I really didn't like my voice, you know. It's kind of nasally and kind of different, and it was very different. But then I started doing my research, and I found out that most people who have longevity in the industry, especially from my genre and my era, you know, have unique voices. The Patti LaBelle, the Gladys Knight, you know, you would know them anywhere, you know. So, and to have a voice, I feel that's you know, comparable with that type of effort. Yeah, it's a great thing. Well, having a unique voice is one of the biggest keys to my success and my longevity.
Yes, definitely. So when you talked about, you know, transitioning and finding your own voice, you know, after singing, you know, people who were, you know, some of your influences. But, you know, what were some of the hardest moments transitioning into fame from just being someone who was just singing someone else's song? You know, what were some of those, you know, hardest moments for you?
Well, actually, you know, coming living in a city like Minneapolis, Minnesota, you know, actually we do we enjoy a pretty high class of living up here, you know, if you work hard, mm-hmm. like anywhere else,
okay.
you know. So I was somewhat prepared for it because of the local stardom that I had created for myself, you know. We have
okay.
two cities here, the Twin Cities, and, you know, having to perform over both of those cities, and then running up in the shadows of Prince, would already put Minneapolis on the map. Everybody wanted a deal then. Everybody, not necessarily wanted a deal, they believed that they could get one if it was possible,
mm.
you know, because, you know, a lot of the transitions, you know, I mean, that I had to make, you know, I was pretty much prepared for it, for being able to communicate with people and also being able to back it up in the studio. We have, I come out of an area of a wealth of great musicians. You know, we have the music scene in Minneapolis, St. Paul is phenomenal. I mean, and
mm-hmm.
so we were kind of spoiled. You know, we were kind of spoiled when it comes to our music. You know, we're perfectionists, and we really believe in being able to play your instrument and be able to sing at the same time. These guys are like bred it. They grew up from a very young age knowing how to sing and play. Now, a lot of players can't do both. Some of them can only play. Some can, you know, they can't sing and play. Well, it was pretty much a requirement in Minneapolis that if you're going to be in a band, you're going to have to be able to sing and play. So don't even come audition if you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So our protocol was pretty strenuous. So, you know, we kind of made it hard on ourselves, which it was almost like in training for the next level. Right? Everybody was in training for the next level. And certainly after the success of, like I say, once again, Prince and the Time, you know, we were like, okay, oh, everybody's got to be ready. If you're coming out of Minneapolis, you got to be ready, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And working with great producers like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis didn't break my career at all.
Okay. So, I mean, tell us about, I mean, these are some awesome, you know, you've had the opportunity to work with some awesome people, I mean, and to be a part of some awesome collaborations. So tell us about how you actually got hooked up with Prince in the Time.
With Prince in the past? Well, actually, I got hired to be the lead singer for the Time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Morris Day was going to be the drummer. Morris and Prince had called me in. Asked me to have a meeting with him. So we went to this very famous musical restaurant in Minneapolis called Rudolph's, the barbecue joint. And
okay.
we met, and they offered me this job being a lead singer for the Time. And so we started to record and things like that at Prince's house out in Minnetonka. And I started asking questions in reference to the financial aspect of this venture. And also, there was another drummer that was going to be left out of the band named Jelly Bean Johnson, because Morris going to be the drummer, so how could Jelly Bean? Now, we already had a group in Minneapolis called Flight Time, right? So I worked with the fellows, Terry Lewis, Jimmy Jam, Monty Moya, Jelly Bean Johnson, myself, a couple other people. And I felt that, you know, we were in a position where we were close to getting a deal ourselves, because we were in the studio doing things, and, you know, I was questioning them about their decision going on to be the Time. Anyway, to make a long story short, I got fired, okay, for opening my mouth, okay, for talking. I learned a big lesson then, you know, about things, but I guess, you know, Miss Diamond, my values had already been formed as my morals as a man and the type of man that I wanted to be and the type of person I wanted to be. They were already formed, so therefore for me to sit back and to be passive and not to say anything or not to ask any questions, especially in reference to the things that was being required of us, you know. That wouldn't have been Alexander O'Neill. So consequently, obviously, I guess Prince Buffett taking the attitude that, you know, you have 100% of nothing and I'm offering you 50% of something. You have the nerve to question me?
Right.
Yeah, I do have the nerve to question you. Okay, so I went to rehearsal one night. The only thing, the getting fired wasn't the worst part about it, because sometimes, Miss Diamond, good things comes out of bad situations. You just have to work it and look for the good things. And so getting fired wasn't the worst in the world, but it was the way it was done. Okay?
Okay.
The way it was done. It was certainly very spineless, and I thought it was cowardly, you know, because Prince never told me I was fired. I went out to a rehearsal one night, and he said, we're not going to do out to the session, studio session. He said, we're not going to have a session tonight. Morris and I are going down on First Avenue, and he gave me $50. And from that point on, I was out. Well, I didn't know I was out. At least be man enough to tell me, no, you're not going to work out. We're going to get somebody else to do this. That's the only thing that, you know, kind of bugged me about it. And, you know, consequently, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were members of the time as well, they got fired, you know, due to a, you know, one of the few times in Atlanta that it ever snowed. Okay. Ever snowed. They got snowed in, and they had a show, I think, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma the next day, and they missed the show. And Prince was so livid, he was, because he had to play bass behind the curtains, right? He had to play the bass behind the curtain, and the show had to go on. And so, consequently, he fired them. One of the best things that happened to them as well, because they went on to perform their producing collaboration, Flight Time Production with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and all the wonderful hits that they've written over the years. And, you know, they were my friends. They are my friends. And they were basically described the epitome of friendship, because, you know, these guys, you know, I was doing the club. That's why I tell people all the time, you got to be out there. You got to be performing. You got to be out there where people can see you. You know that, because you never know who's in the club that night. You never know where your opportunities come from. But because I was very persistent, you know, I was determined. I said, after I got fired from Prince, I was determined to get a deal now. Okay, now Alexander O'Neill is going to get a record deal. Okay.
I know that's right. Speaking into existence.
But by the grace of God, my friends were in a position, they said, they came home and I was doing a local club downtown Minneapolis, and Jim and Terry said, look, man, we just started our producing thing. They just did the SOS band. Their first thing. And so they said, when we get our feet planted firmly on the ground in the industry, then we're going to come back and we're going to get you a record deal. Help you get a deal. And I was like, okay, cool, man, cool. Well, about a year later, that happened. And it's so crazy because, you know, I had given myself 10 years to, I decided in 1975 that I was going to be no more bands. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to be a solo artist, and that was it. And I gave myself 10 years to get a record deal. And I said, if I don't get a deal in 10 years, I'm going to go to Wisconsin. I'm going to truck driving school. And I'm going to drive big 18-wheelers across the country, because I always felt the guy, I had to be in a job that makes a lot of money. But you work hard, right? But you make a lot of money.
Yes.
So I said that was it. And in the 10th year is when I got the deal. So, you know, it's amazing. So, you know, you never know who's in the club. You never know. You got to keep going, keep being the best. Because in the local music scene in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we were packing them in. We were packing them in. We were doing like 3 nights a week. And those 3 nights, we were packing them in to the local band, playing other people's stuff, you know. And plus, I had already had a hit in Minneapolis on a local record, a small record company out of Illinois, or shall I say Maryville, Indiana, which is right outside of Chicago, called Erect Records. So entitled Do You Dare, and a beautiful ballad called Playroom. And so I was known in the city. I had already had a stardom, an R&B stardom in the city, because back at that time, there wasn't very many. There was a few records out, but, you know, you had to be pretty daring to put your own record out and stuff like that. And I worked with a good team of guys that we decided that we were going to keep going. We weren't going to let anything stop us, and it worked out well.
So how has your life been different from, you know, other than what you've imagined for yourself?
Well, I think that probably my hiatus, I lived in London. I just moved back to Minneapolis 2 years ago. I lived in London for 14 years. I went there, never knew that, you know, I actually didn't know anything about England or the Brits or anything. But they already knew everything about me. And they were, you know, one thing about the people in the UK and in Europe, your fans, they grow up with you as well as they do here. And they grow older with you, you know. You know, they kept coming out to the shows, and the shows were always sold out and always packed. And I still commute. I'm there more than I'm here, period. But I decided long time ago, Ms. Diamond, that I wasn't going to depend on, I wanted to be a worldwide artist. I don't want to depend on America for my livelihood. Because when you get older, one thing about America, you're only as big as your last hit record, okay? And that attitude and that philosophy still stands true today, you know. Well, in England, it's a whole different ballgame, because London, the economy there, it's all about music. I mean, it's like another version of New York, L.A. You know, L.A. has so much in it. But England, London is all about music. It's all about music. And, you know, the greeting that I got there, the treatment that being treated like a, well, actually like a superstar. And I've sold out my 6 sellout nights at Wembley Arena. Still stands. There's no R&B artist that has ever that has crashed that record yet. After my second album. I didn't even have a. It wasn't even a brand for third album. You know, so those nights really sell out. And that's one of my biggest performance. I mean, my biggest accomplishment in the industry is my 6 sellout nights at Wembley Arena in London, England. So, you know, it worked out so well because, you know, it's a difference between liking an artist, loving an artist, and endearing an artist in your heart and in your making them a part of your makeup. And I have so many loyal fans there that they still come out to buy the records and coming to the shows. And, you know, it's been a really great experience. So it prompted me to move. I said, look, my management's here, everything's here. And it made me give me opportunities by living in London that I maybe not would have had if I'd been living in the United States. And sometimes you have to be daring and you have to make those types of moves, especially for a little country boy like me, okay? Minneapolis, but I was born and raised in a little town called Natchez, Mississippi. I didn't leave there until I was 18, 19 years old. And so accomplishing these things, it's not where you come from, it's where you're going. And those things are already mapped out for you by God, but you have to work and be prepared for the opportunity, because opportunity is afforded to us from God. So I've had a wonderful, wonderful ride in my career. I've been all over the world. I did endless amounts of things. I did the world beauty pageant in China, Miss World, and been in Australia. It's just in this all over Europe, Africa. Finally went to Africa and performed. And I didn't know that I had all these loyal fans in Africa, you know, because I would meet people on the street, and I had this one guy I'll never forget told me, he said, I have a Christmas album. He said, we play your Christmas album in July. So I thought that that was pretty unique. But it was one of the best things. And sometimes in the Christmas album, it was something that I tell people, if you really want to know who I am and why I'm still here, listen to the Christmas album. Buy the Christmas album because, you know, we did the first Christmas album that had been done in a long, long time. And after we did it, then everybody started doing Christmas album. But My Gift to You album is a phenomenal piece of work that we recorded in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks.
Oh,
and it was very, very intense, very intense.
Wow. So, you know, for those who are listening and your fans from the younger generation trying to get into the music business, you know, what kind of wisdom would you pass on to them? You know, what would you want them to know about the industry, period?
Well, I think that, you know, the industry has changed tremendously over the last 20, 25 years. And I think that probably the first thing I would tell them is that you got to have your head on straight first. You got to keep your priorities in perspective. What I mean by that is, listen, if you want to succeed in anything that you do from a professional point of view, whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, R&B singer, record executive, you got to know that has to be the most important thing to you. You got to want it. You have to want that really bad, and you have to keep your priorities in your perspective. Now, everybody who wants it is not going to get it, okay? But it's a talented one who really, 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 you've got to be dedicated. It's like you can't straddle a fence. It just doesn't seem like that. If you straddle a fence, it seems like you just cut down your odds of getting it. What is straddling the fence? If I'm a singer at Holiday Inn, look, I'm not going to be, far be it for me to begrudge anybody making a living and doing what they need to do. But some things you have to not do. So if you are been in a comfortable zone, like you could be a singer, here's a scenario. You could be a singer on a Holiday Inn, and you've been there singing for 2 or 3 years. But it doesn't bring you any closer to your dream, your goal. So sometimes you have to make the sacrifices. Not do certain things, starve, do the things you need to do. But see, along with starving, and when people believe in you, that's very important, having the support of family and people around you is very, very important. So if you have the gift, and there's a vast difference between a talent and a gift. A gift is something that you don't even have to work at, period. Talent is something that you really have to develop. So if you have the gift, it becomes your chances of succeeding are going to be pretty positive, you know, pretty positive. But if you're not willing to make the sacrifices to get there, sometimes success can be very elusive.
Yes, it can. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, when you go out, people throw the L word out, oh, you're a legend, you know, but tell us, you know, about any funny stories that you can give us, you know, that people tell you about you, you know, when you go out and they finally see you and they say, oh, my God, when I saw you, you know, and you just always tickled by that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a great feeling, and it's a great feeling of accomplishment when people tell you different stories about when they went to see you perform or, yeah, I have so many people that name their child after me, you know. They said, and I've had people come to the theater for me to meet their child that they named after me. And this has not only been in America, but it's been in England, in Europe as well. And that's been so amazing. And to be, you know, I get a lot of in my songs, like If You Were Here Tonight, Sunshine, some people would tell me how many children were conceived by my songs, and I would go like, okay, as long as they don't try to accuse me of being a father, then I'm okay.
Right, right.
I'm okay. So, but yeah, it's really been, you know, those are the things that really make my heart shine when I hear those kinds of songs.
Oh. They tell you, oh, okay, I made some babies off of your Yes, yes. So what I want to do right now is I want to give your fans, you know, definitely a little treat and give them the opportunity to hear one of your songs. So we're going to play one of your hit records.
Pardon me, what did you just say? Pardon me?
Thank you.
are back. We are back live. And if you are just now tuning into the show, today's special guest on Interview for the Stars is none other than the wonderful Mr. Alexander O'Neill. Welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond. It's been great talking to you so far. I love it.
Yes, yes. So we actually have a caller on the line. We're going to let this caller in and let them ask you some questions. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Mr. Alexander O'Neill.
Hi, my name is Shanice Solomon. I'm from Sacramento, California, and I just want to say I love your
music.
How
you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm great, great.
Yeah, so do you have a question for him?
Yeah, where do you come up with all these ideas for your music?
Well, actually, you know, I only wrote a couple of the songs. I co-wrote Criticize, and I've written other songs. But actually, it's a collaboration of working with great producers, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Even though they wrote most of the songs, a lot of the ideas of these songs are that we sit down and we discuss what did I want to talk about, what I want to be, you know, what I want this album to be about, you know. So they would take notes and write down different things and come up with titles of songs and do different things. So it basically spawned out of a discussion. We discuss what do I want to say, what am I feeling this album. They would take notes, and then we put those notes in the music, in the words.
Okay. Well, it sounds great, and I love it.
Thank you, sweetie.
Well, thank you for calling. Yeah, so we definitely have a lot of fans who love your music, and, you know, tell us, you know, how did your family first react when you first told them, you know, okay, I've started off singing here and there, but now I'm going to take my music to the next level. How receptive to the music industry was your family?
How did my family, what was the question, sweetie?
How receptive to, you know, you moving into music was your family? You know, how much did they support it? Did they love it?
Oh, tremendous. I come from a wealth of great singers down south. Look, I tell people, I know people who sing much better than I do, okay?
Okay.
Matter of fact, one of my sisters is a great singer. She, you know, she has a beautiful, and I have a cousin that has a beautiful voice. They have voices, but they decided to, you know, life takes you in its own path, right? And so, but they're all so supportive. Because when it first started out, I was on these local records. I was fortunate to be on these compilation albums that they did in the Twin Cities, a local artist. And then I got a chance, first time they ever saw me on television, I was on public television. It was a show here, and someone called my sister, like, Pat, you got to channel such and such. Your brother's on TV, you know. And that was the first time, and I had to make a quarter off of that, you know. But they have been so supportive over the years, you know. And I tell people, I thank God for my career. The first thing that I did, you know, was stick by my family, you know.
Okay.
You got to take care of moms, man. You got to take care of your family first. And I really thank God for giving me the opportunity, especially us being raised poor. We come from Mississippi, but see, the difference in being when you're raised in a rural area like that, we were poor, but we really didn't know we were poor. We knew we couldn't have what other kids could have, but and at the same time, our family is so rich with love, right? We have so much love in our family until there's your family supported each other at then. It's a little different ballgame than it is now in such a short period of time, but family really were there for each other. If you needed something, you can get it. You know, it's like you could write a note and go down and send your mother, write a note, and you'd go down the street to Mrs., say, Eloise's house. And your note would say, Eloise, can I borrow a cup of sugar and such and such and such and such until I make grocery this weekend? The child would come back with what you asked for. Now, if you do something like that, the first thing, the question now is that Instead of, sure, you can get a cup of sugar, no big deal. It's like, what's wrong with you? You can't even buy a cup of sugar. Mm-mm. What are they doing over there? You can't, that's the attitude, and that's not right. You're supposed to be. So we were, that's what I mean. We were rich with love, and I've always had a wealth of support around me. Nobody ever thought that I would be an R&B singer because all my youth was all about sports. And I wanted to be a football player, a professional football player. That actually was my dream.
Okay.
It was my dream. I went to Alcorn State on a football scholarship. And then I went there for a season, and then I quit that school. And I went to that's a black college. Then I went to a white college, a junior college called Copiah Lincoln Junior College in Mississippi. But only to find out, Ms. Diamond, that, you know, college is not for everybody. And obviously it wasn't my direction in life because, see, I didn't know how to study. That was my problem.
Okay.
That's what I find that plagues a lot of black youth. But at the time I came through, we didn't have the curricular and the standards that you have to live up to go to college now. You know, you have to have these averages and you have to have, you know, even athletes now. It's not like you, when I went to college, it was like the attitude was you play, do your part on the field and I'll do my part off and the coaches will take care of the rest, right? But I had not learned how to study even in high school. Basically, I was a star in high school football player, so, you know, I didn't have to do a lot of things, okay?
Right.
But I regret some of those things now because you might not want to see, you know, it's like reading, the big difference between calling reading and calling words. And that's what I was doing, calling words. I didn't really read because I couldn't comprehend what I just read, right? I couldn't retain the thought. And so that's what I mean by not knowing how to study. But I didn't have someone there to tell me, to tutor me, to show me how to do this. I became out of a black high school in a rural area in the 70s when it was a time when black people, we were trying to move forward. So you just got through, okay? You just got through.
Mm.
It didn't mean that you was prepared for the next level. You might have graduated high school, but you wasn't prepared for college, right? And I wasn't prepared for college. I might have been prepared for college sports, for getting myself prepared for that, but I wasn't prepared for college academics, okay? I wasn't prepared for that. And so it plagued me. So I went to the second school, found out that I had the same problem there. So I figured it out. Now I quit sports, period. And that's when
that's
music came into play. That's when music came into play because I decided at that time, I said, Alex, once you ever find your niche in life again, when I ever find my niche in life, I'm never going to be a quitter again, ever.
Okay.
And it happened to be music, and I made my mind up, and I went for it. And by the grace of God, he blessed me. A lot of good things came from it.
Yeah, well, we're so honored that you haven't quit the music industry because, you know, like I've said before, you know, you have a voice, a soulful voice that, you know, has not been duplicated yet. You know, we hear a lot of singers who come out and they sound like someone we've already heard, but we have yet to get another Alexander O'Neill. So, you know, your voice is definitely something original.
Well, you know, Ms. Diamond, you know, that like I say, once again, I'm very thankful to have that gift, and that certainly is a gift to me from God. You know, but I tell a lot, I want to let a lot of the singers out there, and because singers have to know that there's a vast difference between a singer and a musician. We're not the same, even though people like the group is in together and think that it's not. It's two different, totally different categories. And I tried to do, what I wanted to accomplish, first of all, is to be able to be a funkster, up-tempo singer, and I knew that I could do the ballads. I knew that was just automatic for me, okay? That wasn't even nothing to even think about. But I wanted to be a funkster because it's very difficult when you get slated as a certain kind of singer, you get categorized as a certain kind of singer, that's all your fans expect you to do. They don't expect if you are ballad, you come out and you have hit records as a ballad, all they want you to do is sing ballad. They go do something that you do norm, that you do well. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. See, when I came out, all my hits, my first hits were funky songs, up-tempo. Coming out of Minneapolis at that time, with the Minneapolis era, if you couldn't bring the funk, goodness gracious, something, what's wrong with this picture? Okay?
Right.
So you have to bring, I think that I'd like to encourage people to keep a balance there. Be just as good as the funk as you are a balladeer. Because when people put you in a balladeer, when you get slated as a balladeer, it's hard to break out of it. You can't get out of it. Very difficult to break out of it. So you want to keep your options open. You want to be diverse and be able to do the funky stuff as well as you do the ballad. And if you do that, you got a, you know, a well-balanced, you know, it's a well-balanced sound.
Yeah, so who are some of the other artists that you have had the opportunity to work with or artists you have had the opportunity to write for?
You're fading.
Who have you had the opportunity to write for or to work with?
Well, actually, I haven't written anything for anybody, you know. But I've worked with, working with Sherelle was probably, I think, one of the greatest, my greatest thing, accomplishment, song that I've done with Everything I Missed at Home, Saturday Love, Never Knew Love Like This. I've had the opportunity to do duets with a lot of people. I did a duet with a guy a few years ago in England. His name is Russell Watson. He's an opera singer. And we did a cover song. You guys should Google it, too. A cover song called with Willie Nelson and Julio Iglesias did. Well, All the Girls I've Loved Before. So it's called For All the Girls I've Loved Before. But I haven't worked with very many people, but I have done collaborations with a few different people. Because when you have a great, we were voted, Sherelle and Alexander O'Neill, by Vibe Magazine about 3 years ago, out of 100 duets, all the greatest duets, and I couldn't believe it. We were, Saturday Love, we were voted the number one duet of all time. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now that just blows my mind, you know, and it's like, this is Vibe Magazine, New York City, so I'm like, whoa, that's pretty deep. And this is out of all the Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Lionel Richie's, Diana Ross, Donny Hathaway, Roberta Flack. I mean, out of all those great, great, great songs, they chose Saturday Love, Alexander O'Neill and Sherelle, the number one duet of all time. Wow.
Yeah,
that was pretty much an accomplishment, an achievement for us, you know. So working, my point is that working with Sherelle, I haven't really, we're trying to keep it together because once you lose that collaboration, it's kind of hard to regain it. So the great thing about our relationship is that Sherelle has her career and her band. I have my career and my band, and then we have a career together. So that's
together.
It's a good thing.
Yes, we love it. One of the things that really resonates to me is your performance at the BET Awards in 2011. I mean, that was one of the performances where you're at home and you're watching the show, but when you two came out and started singing, you know, you get up off the couch and you're dancing in your living room, you know, you're just rocking. You know, I remember that, you know, like it was yesterday. I just remember getting up and everybody in the house just got up and was dancing and just, you know, having a good time because, you know, what you all have done is created feel-good music. You know,
yeah.
That music
well,
you can always rock
yeah.
to, you can always listen to.
Well, that's great, you know, and that's always been the thing we've been very careful about, and we've had we work with good people, Clarence Avant. And one of the music moguls in the music industry has done him and his team with Taboo Records. We were a small label, but we had the most powerful team in the business doing the type of music that we do. And that's with Sherelle and Alexander O'Neill on the label. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, you know. So it was a very powerful time for us and wonderful, wonderful time for us.
Yes, yes. So we're going to give your fans a treat. You know, everybody is on your Facebook page right now, which is Alexander O'Neill, of course, and the official Alexander O'Neill page. They're also on Instagram, and the one thing that they keep saying is, please play Saturday Love. So we're going to play Saturday Love, and when we come back, we're going to give you guys a little bit more of Mr. Alexander O'Neill right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Been a long time. I didn't ever think I was gonna see you again. See, you haven't changed. It's good to see you anyway.
And we are back live on air. That was Saturday Love by Mr. Alexander O'Neill and Ms. Sherelle. So welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond, for having me today. You have been such a lovely host today.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm enjoying myself. You know, I enjoy your music. There are so many people who have reached out to us and here at Faces of Success Radio, and they say, we love him. We love his music. We can't wait for the interview. So we're going to give the fans an opportunity. If they didn't get this interview, they'll be able to get it on your Facebook page, and I have links to your Facebook page from Faces of Success Radio. Also, I don't want to put you on the spot right now, but
okay.
I want your fans to know that you still got it. You know, can you sing a little something for us?
Oh, that's amazing, yeah. How about that? Okay, I'll sing a little something.
Okay.
Cloudy was the day when sunshine came into my life and made it brighter. Yeah, yeah. Something like that anyway. That's my afternoon voice.
Yes, definitely. You know, someone said, I just got to hear him sing. You know, I just want you to know that you are so loved in the industry. You are so loved by your fans.
Thank you, guys.
Everywhere. There's been a lot of posts that, you know, people are just, you know, going on and on and on. Wonderful. Please come to Mississippi, you know, and play for us, or please come to Arizona. So I just want you to know that your fans are definitely, you know, ride or die for you, and they love your voice.
Well,
I love your voice, and they know that you still got it now.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, and I want to thank all my fans here, especially in America. You know, tell people all the time, you know, because when I'm abroad, they always ask me, they say, well, are you as popular in America as you are here in certain places in Europe, or I'm in Germany or in such a place? And I'm like, yeah, I have a lot of great, great fans. I got a lot of baby boomers that grew up on Alexander O'Neill, and I have a lot of fans here. The difference here is that the fans, of the way the music industry has changed and the modern technology, all kinds of stuff, even though a lot of my fans have made the transition over to the 21st century. I'm one of the reluctant ones. I'm still fighting. Okay. My wife is still trying to bring me into the 21st century, and I'm determined to stay in the 70s. Okay. But,
okay.
No, but I'm just having a good time at it because, you know, I do agree with it, and I think there's a lot of it, but I think some of it, most of it's good, and a lot of it's bad, too, because sometimes when people get frustrated in their careers, all of a sudden they want to put their own record out. Well, let me explain something to you guys. There's nothing more rewarding than someone else taking a chance on you and giving you a deal for something that they believe that you can do for the industry or for their company or whatever. Sometimes I find that when you get so frustrated that you have to put your own record out, you got to put it on, and then you put it on the internet. Nobody knows who you are. There's 50 million guys out there sound just like you. You package it yourself. It doesn't make you a star. It doesn't make you a star in your own mind until the people acknowledge your music, recognize your music for what it is. Then that's when you begin to get the staying power and stuff. So be careful about jumping up and putting your record out on the internet, because when you go to get a deal, sometimes you've already exposed yourself. You want someone to be pleasantly surprised about your talent and gift. And be careful about that. Trying to just giving up, because sometimes that's what it is. You instead of you not believing yourself, giving up, and you got to go to where, if you live in some little town and stuff, you got to go to where they're giving out the record deals. You got to go where you can get a deal. And if it's L.A.,
yes,
New York, Atlanta, Houston, or wherever you got to go to get a deal, you need to put yourself, take a chance and put yourself in a position so you can get that deal. Because how many people are coming to some little town, Tunica, Arkansas, or Bensonville, South Carolina, or you know what I'm saying? There's not people,
yeah.
Very many people coming there. So you're gifted and you're talented. You got to go to where it's happening. Take a chance on yourself and go for it.
Yes, yes. Well, I want your fans to know that they can contact you on Facebook. They can also see you October the 18th in Cleveland, Ohio, for a Sweeties Day concert with Sherelle. So information about that and more is going to be on your Facebook page as well as Face of Success Radio. So I know that they can't wait. You're going to definitely rock it in Ohio. So shout out to Ohio for that.
We're going to we have a lot of great shows coming up. It's good. I have just got new management, finally got management here in the United States, which we're reinventing. You know, it's a thing of my fans already know about my music. It's just, you know, it's a call of reinventing yourself, and that's all you have to do is let them know. I'm working on a brand new album that's going to be out next year. I'm also working on a big band album that's going to be done R&B, which has never been done before. And I have a couple other big, nice things in place. So, fans in America, I know you're out there. I love you guys, and thank you so much for playing my music over the years and buying my music and just being down with Alexander O'Neill in spite of what, because I know that in my earlier career, to say the least, I was a rebel. And I've had my bad boy days, too, just like all the rest of them. But you know what? You have to grow up sometime. And it's just
you
thankful that I'm still here.
Yes, yes. But what I can say about that is, you know, your image and for whatever people may have on their minds, you know, you're someone that everyone can relate to. You know, we often look for people in the industry that is, that look perfect and, you know, they just have it together because they're singers. But what people don't really understand is that celebrities such as yourself are real individuals, you know. So you may have been looked at as a rebel, but how many other rebels are out there? You know, as long as you're making good music, you're still sounding good, you're still selling out shows, that's all that matters.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about it is that, and I can leave you with this one thought and all my fans and friends out there, is that, and anybody who knows me, especially my friends out there who knows me, listening, what you see is what you get. When you get Alexander O'Neill, you get Alexander O'Neill all day, every day, the same Alex. It doesn't change. You know, and I'm a realist, and I have this, well, sometimes it can be a great thing, sometimes it can be not so great thing, but I have this candid ability to be able to tell it just like it is. And I don't know any other way. I don't take anything off it. What you see is what you get, Alex. It's the same Alex you get all day, every day. So, you know, I'm loving Mary J. Blige's new album right now. And she's saying, love it or hate it, hate it or love it. I'm loving it right now. So that's who I am. You get me all day, every day.
Thank you so much. So on behalf of the Face of Success Radio and Interviews with the Stars, I want to thank you for being a part of the show today and sharing your talents with us and sharing your lives with us, just opening up to us. So we want to thank you for being a part of the show. And we're going to start with If You Were Here Tonight, right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Oh, that's definitely. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
No problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.